Todd Bowers is on the phone. He's the director of government operations for the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. You've heard his colleague, Paul Rykoff, on this show many, many times. In fact, the last time Paul and I talked on this show was when there was a government report released about the number of veterans who are committing suicide. Cammy McCormick reported at the top of the hour that the number is now somewhere above 100 veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan committing suicide every week. That's over 5,000 a year we're talking about. So Todd was on Capitol Hill today where the House Committee on Veterans Affairs was having a hearing, and he was supposed to speak to them. Todd, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
I understand they didn't give you a chance to talk there. Is that true?
Well, unfortunately, time constraints had the veteran service organizations have to just rely on our written testimony that we submitted, but we're being told that we'll be invited back in late January to be able to answer more questions for the committee.
All right. What were you going to tell them?
Overall, I was going to tell them that the VA has a tremendous amount of programs that are extremely helpful in helping people in regards to suicide. We've seen a hotline that's been established, outreach programs to families. But the one big elephant in the room that no one seems to address is that the VA still doesn't even know how to communicate with veterans. There is no registry. There's no way to track them once they come off active duty or once they return from deployments. There's no way to reach out to them. So what good is having these programs if you can't even communicate that they're available to veterans?
Now, you served a couple of combat tours in Iraq yourself, right?
Yes, sir.
Including spending time in Fallujah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. When you came back, was there any kind of debriefing? Was there any kind of discussion with you, with anybody either in the DOD or at the VA about mental health?
Very minimal, and I would say to the extent of about 15 minutes. Now, that was a couple of years ago, and they have made some changes where they are offering more programming, but it's still not enough. And what people don't realize is right when you come home, the last thing you want to do is be debriefed about mental health issues. You need to wait 2 weeks, 30 days, 60 days out to be able to follow up with these individuals. And that's why IAVA has always endorsed mandatory pre- and post-mental health screening for individuals. That way you can establish a baseline and really be able to see what conflict, what war has had on the mental health of our soldiers.
Now, Carol, you're shaking your head. Yes, your brother-in-law got back from Iraq just a few weeks ago.
And they do equipment check-in and all of that stuff. And the debrief is, I want to say there's about 3 weeks, but it's not. He is correct. It's not all mental health at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. They don't want to talk about that. They want to try to reengage with their families and, you know, take a shower. But all of that stuff is there, but they don't want to talk about it. So we have to learn. Why don't we take what we do regularly in mental health and apply it to this? That's what a lot of Americans don't understand.
And I invite everybody right now to go ahead and start changing it, that hidden stigma that we see in the military in regards to mental health. We continue to refer to it as post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, that word right there, disorder, you know, automatically singles people out as something is wrong with them. I look at it as you know, you are a mental health injury that you have received in combat. And that's the hard part, reducing that stigma. And that's why at IAVA we're working really hard to try and change that. You know, let generals and colonels come back from combat and say, you know what, I had a hard time adjusting. I went and got some help, and I'm doing okay now.
Let me ask you, I hate to interrupt you, but you just said generals. Is it different for officers? Is it different for them than it might be for those enlisted men and women?
No, they go through the same reintegration process that we go through. The reason I mentioned generals and colonels was those are the individuals that we, as the enlisted folks, look up to.
Mm-hmm.
And to have one person be able to come forward, the person that we are modeling ourselves after, and say, you know what, I had some readjustment issues and I needed help, that would have a tremendous impact on the overall stigma problem.
Yeah, you're using the word stigma, and I think that is what it has to be applied here, because even with people who are not in the military, when you talk about mental health issues, a lot of people, you know, go, ooh, they get a little squirmish about it because, you know, oh, does that mean you're going crazy? I mean, those are the words that get applied when you talk about mental health issues, and that's a stigma that our whole society has to overcome.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, the IAVA, we have actually partnered with the Ad Council for a campaign that we're going to be working on for the next 3 years to let the American public know that this is an issue and this is something that needs to be addressed when it comes to the stigma that everybody has towards combat veterans.
Now, you mentioned that the VA does do some things, but aren't we also talking about the DOD, the Department of Defense, having to do something? Because we're not just talking about guys who are out of the service, but some who come home who are still active duty military.
Exactly, and I'm actually right in front of me. I've got some scary numbers for you guys if you want, but actually in Iraq and Afghanistan, over 152 service members have taken their own lives.
Mm.
That's almost 1/40 of the casualties that we've – actually, it's more than 1/40 of the casualties that we've endured during these two conflicts. It's a very bad issue. It's very important that we focus on this and look at the numbers that even the Army is providing. We've seen the highest suicide rate in the Army in over 26 years since data has been collected on suicide.
And we are talking about Iraq and Afghanistan soldiers here. We're not talking about guys who served in Nam or other conflicts, right?
No, this is within the active Army. These are the highest numbers we've seen in 26 years. And I heard you mention earlier that over 100 vets are taking their lives a week. And although those are not all Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, there is a large number of those veterans that I guarantee are. And what's scary is that we don't have the numbers on that. There is no study. There is no survey. The CBS story was the most recent thing that we've seen that actually looked at these numbers to allow the American public to really get an idea how big a problem this is.
So when you went up to Capitol Hill today, what were you expecting to hear from Congress? I know you and the other veterans groups didn't get a chance to testify in front of a microphone. You had to submit your stuff in writing, and hopefully that will be paid attention to by our elected representatives. But what were you expecting to hear from them? What did you expect to have done? And now that they're holding the hearings, what do you think will be done?
Well, I'm hoping that we'll be able to get a comprehensive study to really be able to understand the impact that suicide is having on veterans as a whole. More importantly, I hope that people are able to recognize that programming and different functions that we try and set up that will help combat suicide are only as effective as the avenues of communication that we have available. And that's where the problem is. We are not communicating to our veterans to let them know, hey, these resources are available for you. If you're having problems, here's who you can talk to. And another aspect is that the families need to be involved. I'm a Marine Corps reservist. I spend 2 days a month at my reserve center where my Marines can make sure I'm doing okay. The rest of the time, I'm with my family and friends. And those are the ones we need to reach to know what to look for in regards to suicide prevention.
Do you know guys who you served with in Iraq or have met through the IAVA who did end up killing themselves?
Well, I know families who have lost loved ones that I've met through IAVA, and I can tell you this much, the burden, the pain, the suffering that the families go through is just overwhelming. You know, studies have shown that for every suicide, there's at least six family members that are affected. And that is just undeniable fact that the impact of someone taking their lives is overwhelming. I've seen that even with close friends of mine out in Virginia. Her father was a Vietnam vet, and he took his life just 5 years ago. So it affects all generations of combat veterans, but it's upsetting that we still are allowing them to fall through the cracks.
I wanted to ask you, Paul, that even with suicide in the general population, if you will, amongst civilians, you know, we know, for instance, that if that person starts giving away everything, those are some of the signs we know about. I guess because this is so new to us, this tragedy is so new, we may or may not know what the signs are for a combat veteran. Are they different? This is something that family members obviously would need to be told, but
yeah,
do we have any idea?
That's a very good question, because we've got so many military bases in our listening area and so many people who have or know someone in their family or friends who have gone off and served. Once they come home, what are the warning signs people should be looking for?
And that's the worst part. We know what the warning signs are. They're very similar to other mental health issues. It's anxiety. It's depression. It's what you mentioned, you know, giving away your worldly possessions. These are things that you can look for. And in the letter that the VA actually sent, you know, it says here are some suicide warning signs. And this is meant to be conveyed to veterans and their family members. Hopelessness, rage, acting reckless, increasing alcohol, drug abuse, feeling trapped, withdrawing from friends and family. You know, this communication from Undersecretary Michael Cussman to veterans is outstanding, but nobody got it. Nobody got to see that this was made available. And so these are the steps where, I come back to communication is the problem, letting veterans know what resources are available and what items to look for.
Todd, before I let you go, I haven't had a chance to talk to Paul Rieckhoff about it, so I'll ask you what you think of the nomination of General Peake as the new Secretary of the VA.
Well, I think that he's got a tough battle in front of him. And to be honest, he's got 1 year to make some serious changes in an institution that's having some really hard times. I'm very excited, though, because he is coming right in with a true warrior's ethos. He has served his life in the Army, and I hope that he can carry that over to the VA to make sure that things get finished, to understand the importance of communication and how, you know, if anybody can relate to it, he should be able to. If communication fails on the battlefield, you failed your mission. And the VA is going to be a new battlefield for General Peake. So I hope he steps up to the plate. I was pleased with the questions that were asked during his confirmation hearing. And, you know, only time will tell, but, you know, the questions that were asked at the hearing, I always said to people, these questions aren't very important. What's going to be important is a year from now when his term is finished as the new secretary, and veterans are either going to say, how did you accomplish so much, or why did you accomplish so little? So next year is going to be when the real questions are asked.
Todd, thank you so much for your service in uniform and now at the IAVA, and thanks for taking time to talk about this afternoon.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, guys.
Todd Bowers is Director of Government Affairs for the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.